Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're looking at the life of Abraham and learning from his walk of faith with the Lord. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 as we go back to basics.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." So chapter 12 picks up with telling us that God had spoken already to Abram. Now, if we just go back a few verses into chapter 11, we're going to find out some interesting things. Let me read from verse 27. This is a genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah, now listen to this. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. That's important information right there. Go back to what we're told about Abram. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, away from your family, and from your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you." It's interesting, when you read in those previous verses, Terah seems to be the one in charge. But what we know from the text here is that it was Abram that God actually had spoken to, and he told him specifically to get out of his father's house. Now, we know, as I mentioned earlier, we know from Joshua that Terah was an idolater. He was an idol worshiper. Now, some have assumed, based on that, that, well, Abram must have been as well. I don't necessarily think so. It could very well be because there were still, individuals here and there who were holding fast to the revelation that had been given by God in the earlier days. And it could very well be that Abram was one of those individuals who was still seeking the true and the living God. But in the New Testament, we're told in Acts chapter 7, we are told that the God of glory appeared to Abraham while he was living in Mesopotamia. So again, we don't know any of the details of how this happened, but there came a point in this man's life, in the life of this Mesopotamian, Abram, there came a point where the God of glory, the God of the Bible, the God of Adam and Eve, the God of Noah, after perhaps a prolonged period of silence, this God appears to Abram and he commissions him. And he tells him specifically that he is to get out of that country. He is to get out of the country. He's to separate from his family. And he is to leave his father's house. But yet, in the previous verses, as we saw, it says that Terah, he took Abram. He took Abram's wife, Sarai. He took his grandson, Lot, and he led them out, going ostensibly to the land of Canaan, but then they end up in Haran. So, you know, here's what we see, I think. Abram, and of course he will become Abraham, we speak of him, and the New Testament speaks of him, as the father of faith. And what we are looking at here is simply the beginning of his journey of faith. And you see, here's the reality. Nobody becomes a great man or woman of faith overnight. Nobody has an instant kind of a faith where they are just, you know, from that moment forward, filled with faith. They never falter. They never waver. They don't have to grow or progress. They just, you know, go from faith to faith to greater faith to greater faith. It doesn't happen like that. It's a process. And the thing about Abram that's so encouraging, I think, as we're going to go through his life, it's encouraging to see how God is so faithful to keep his promises even in the face of human weakness, in the face of human failure, in the face of the great man of faith not having any faith. Because sometimes I think we get the wrong impression. I think we think in order for God to do something in our lives, we've got to be perfect in faith. In order for God to do something in our lives, we've got to be, you know, perfectly godly people, always consistently in the Spirit and never doubting and never frustrated and never worried and never angered or anything like that. And you know what? That is simply not a reality. There's never been a person in the world that's ever been like that at all, with the exception of one person, and that we know, of course, is Jesus himself. So we're going to be encouraged, because we're going to see that the father of the faith had his own struggles. And I think what we see here immediately is we see the human weakness. God says, get away from your family. Leave your father's house. Get out of your country. And for Abram, this was difficult. Oh, Lord, but my daddy's older. You know, my brother's already died, and I think, here's what I think happened. I could be totally wrong, but I could just imagine this scenario. Abram has this encounter with the living God, this revelation. And he's sure that God has told him to do this, but he goes to his father, and he says, Father, the true God, the living God, he has appeared to me. And he's told me that we're to leave here, and he's told me that we're to go to this other place, and he's going to give us this land. He's going to make us a new people. Oh, Father, you don't need to worship these idols. Let's go serve the living God. And I'm sure Terah thought, well, okay, that sounds all right, son. But remember, I'm the dad, so I'll call the shots. And I'll tell you when we're going, and I'll tell you how we're going to get there, and, you know, because I'm in charge. And I think, honestly, that Abram, being human, being just like we are, frail, feeble, sinful, I think this was an area where he just sort of capitulated to Terah. And now here's what happens. God tells him to head out. And he says, I'm going to give you clarity on where you're going. And it becomes known to them that they are to go to the land of Canaan. And so they head out And instead of going to Canaan, they go all the way up north to Haran. And no doubt this had to do with Terah. Now, incidentally, you remember Haran was the name of one of Terah's sons, the son who died. Was that region named after him? Perhaps it was. Perhaps there were other family members there. Again, we don't know any of the details. But I think it's more than a coincidence that his son is named Haran and he goes to the land of Haran. But he goes north. Now, from Ur to Canaan is already about a 500-mile journey. And of course, you know, the way they traveled, that's a long distance and it's going to take a long time. But what Terah does is he takes them to Haran, and they go so far north that if we were to track where they were today, they would have ended up on the border of Turkey and Syria, just slightly on the Turkish side of the border. So they're way up north from where they're supposed to be. And we don't know how long they stayed there, but we know from the record that Terah died there. So we see with Abram, our man of faith, who's spoken to by God, we see that through human weakness, he allows his father to take the lead. He ends up in a distant land, far from where God had originally told him to go. And so, you know, through this act of disobedience, he delays the work of God, and he creates a lot of, I'm sure, unnecessary hardship for himself. Because now he's got to pick up the journey, and he's got to basically backtrack to the south. We can do the same kinds of things. Because, you know, sometimes the Lord will say something to us similar. Sometimes the Lord will call us out of relationships with people. Sometimes he'll call us out of the comfortable. Or sometimes he'll call us out of, you know, the convenient. And he'll say, you know, I want you out of that relationship, or I want you to move from that particular place there, or I want you to disengage from that situation. And we know that it's the right move, and we agree that we should do it, and we're going to do it, but Lord, how about if I do it, you know, like this? And we come up with, you know, sort of an alternation to God's plan. But here's the thing. Whenever we do that, we're just going to create unnecessary hardship for ourselves, and we're going to delay the work of God in our lives. So even though the Lord might at times, you know, give us instruction and give us a command that's going to be maybe difficult emotionally, it might be challenging because, you know, I'm going to have to break off this relationship or something like that. The point is, we need to do it. We need to do it because even though God will, in his grace, he'll be merciful to us and he'll help us to recover, but we will slow down the process of his work in our lives. And we can end up distracted. We can end up stuck in a place. I'm sure when Abram was in Haran, he was probably thinking, what are we doing here? How in the world did we get here? This isn't where God told us to go. And he probably was stuck there for quite a while. So it's important that we obey the specific instruction that God gives us. So the call of God contains also the promise of God's blessing as we go on and read. And this is what God said to him as he appeared to him and spoke to him. Not only was he to leave his country and his family and go to this land. But God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God just appears to this man, and he says, I'm going to start a whole new thing, and I'm going to do it with you. And even though he was temporarily sidetracked because he allowed his human emotion to overrule what he actually should have done, God is faithful. But look real quickly at the promise that God gave him. He said, first of all, I will make you a great nation. God says, I'm going to bring into existence a whole new nation, and I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to start with you, you and your wife. He said, and you personally, I will bless you. I will give you a great name. I think arguably the name of Abraham is one of the greatest in all of history. I mean, here we are, thousands of years later, talking about him. How many people are being talked about tonight after they've been off the scene for thousands of years, or hundreds of years, or a few decades even? So we can see that God's actually done that. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. So God promises to Abraham, I am going to bless you, I am going to prosper you, I am going to protect and defend and fight for you, and then and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham is to be the progenitor of the Savior of the world. That's what God reveals to him. He is going to create a new nation through which he can fulfill his promise of sending the Messiah into the world. And so, verse 4 picks up after the temporary detour to Haran. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. So they make this long, long journey from all the way up north, and they come to Shechem. They come to the area of Samaria, what we would know today as the West Bank. This is the region that they call the West Bank. And that is the place that Abram came to. And notice the little note that the Canaanites were in the land. Now, the Canaanites were an extremely wicked people as well. So remember, he's called to go out of Ur of the Chaldees, where there's just blatant idolatry. He's called to go to Canaan, where things aren't really morally or spiritually any better off. But God is sending him there because eventually he is going to uproot and cast the Canaanites out of the land, and he's going to give the land to Abraham and to his descendants. And so now, as he has arrived in the land, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said. So it would seem that from that initial revelation that God had given, until now there had not been any further revelation or instruction. And there's a principle there. And I think the principle has application to us today. We have got to do what God tells us to do before we can expect Him to tell us what else to do or the next thing to do. We've got to do the first thing. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to do that. Well, Lord, I'll do this, but tell me the rest. Well, Lord, just show me where this is going and then I'll do it. But it doesn't work that way. You see, this is the way it works. And this is the way God works. God rarely, if ever, gives us any kind of a detailed picture of the future. I've certainly found that in my life. God will give you just sort of a sense of something, but I have found that He will reserve the details for Himself. You know, I think of Paul the Apostle. Paul, in the epistle to the Romans, right at the end there, he says to them, in writing to them, he says, Now pray for me, I want to come to you. And then he lays out his plan. I'm going to come to you, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I'm confident that it's going to happen, and the Lord is going to get me there, and you know, I'm going to see you. And Paul was right. He was going to Rome. And he had been given that sense from the Lord that, yes, Rome is a destination that I'm going to go there, and the Lord has a work for me there. So he had that sense, but he didn't know any of the details about how it was going to happen. As a matter of fact, when you read what he said, he thought it was going to happen one way, and it happened an entirely different way. And I guarantee, had God told him in advance the way it was going to happen, Paul would have said, you know what, I don't need to go to Rome. I'm fine right here. You send somebody else over there. And, you know, I think a lot of times the Lord will withhold some of that information from us because He knows if He told us, we wouldn't do it. So He gives us a general picture, and He calls us to take the step. But it's only when I take the step that then He reveals the next step. And so now, after a season of disobedience, but I don't want to, you know, disobedience in a light sense. I don't want to paint Abram as this, you know, rebellious, disobedient. He wasn't that at all. It was through weakness. Like I said, his love for his father, for his family. But nevertheless, it was a form of disobedience. But after he's through that, and he follows through with God, what God commands him to do, we come now back to the place of revelation once again. And so now he's in Canaan, and the Lord appeared to him and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Notice, this is now an addition to the promise that God had given. To your seed, descendants in my Bible, but literally to your seed, I will give this land.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Abraham, the Man of Faith, and the resource number is B0025. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.